For February the 3rd, 2021, this is Tabletax Games, episode 205. Well, with just 3 hours to go, I managed to push into Mythic. We're talking Magic the Gathering Arena, as usual. And last time I was mentioning how my Winnowed Adventure deck was doing really well. And I rocketed up through Platinum and Diamond and got into Mythic, like I said, with 3 hours to spare just before Kaldheim hit. As I was planning, I've been accruing gold and gems for the last or the week prior to the release. And so my plan was to try out Limited and accrue my first boosters of Kaldheim that way. So that's what I've been doing, and I've been having a fair amount of success. I had just 48 hours to go after Kaldheim hit to. Before the season was up, I managed to get into silver at least, tier 2 I think, in limited as well. So that got me some extra rewards as well besides the mythic for standard constructed, and and that's been a lot of fun playing limited. Before, when I've played limited, I haven't played all that much limited. My limited playing has been limited, you could say. This time around, I've been watching, or I did watch some of the Magic Gathering Arena or Gathering, the official channel on YouTube. They had a show this, last spring. What was it called? Outside Notes, where the host was really into limited, so we talked mostly about playing in limited, and that got me kind of interested in getting back into it, and it also gave me some pointers on what to focus on when playing limited, and I guess that has helped along with just more experience playing Magic, I guess. Or at least Magic the Gathering Arena, but yeah. So I've had some good initial decks, good initial runs. I started out with a white, black, and green deck. I think that's Sultai. That's the combo name. I got about 60% win rate, win-loss rate. I did well there. I earned my initial costs. I got that back as rewards, so that was good. I had another, the second time I didn't do as well, the second time I actually tried the sealed deck. Because of the gems that I won from the first limited, so sealed deck you could only purchase with gems and not gold. So usually I won't have all that much gems, since I usually just get them by purchasing with real world money. But this time, since I had some, I thought let's try a sealed deck. Didn't do all that well there. I pretty much lost outright. At least I got some good new cards, and it was still fun to at least try it out. Then I got back and made a Jund deck, which also had close to 60%, 57% win loss rate, and got some fun cards in there. Sarulf is the Realm Eater, or Sarulf Realm Eater. One of my new favorites. although Kaldheim has a lot of really good cards, so it's hard to really pick any favorites. I really want to experience them all. It's hard to focus on any decks in particular for very long at the moment, because as soon as I've started putting something together, I come across some new card that I want to experiment with, and I kind of put that other deck to the side. But Sorrowf Realm Eater is really cool. Legendary creature. It's a wolf. 3/3. It costs one and a black and a green, and it reads, whenever a permanent an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on Sorrowf Realm Eater. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Sorrowf has one or more +1/+1 counters on it, you may remove all of them. If you do, exile each other non-land permanent with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of counters removed this way. So, pretty powerful effect there to be able to just clear the battlefield. It's similar to the, what was it called? Blast something? I don't remember now. The land where you can just destroy everything. Although this is more powerful because, for one thing, it's exile and not destroy, so it becomes harder to withstand for the opponent. Neither hexproof nor indestructible or anything like that is going to help. It affects everything below the amount of counters that you have on it. So you could really clear the field here. So that's a fun card that I want to do a lot more experimenting with. I put it into I just made a Dimir, or not a Dimir, a Golgari deck that I put it into and played around with some. It wasn't really the focus of the deck, so we'll see how that works out. Let's see, what else did I have? A bunch more plays. I really focused on a lot of red and a lot of destruction cards, because as well as cheap creatures, because those are tend to do really well in a limited format. Some of the favorites that in this format that I've been playing around with is Fearless Pup, which uses the No Boast mechanic. So it's a 1/1 for single red. It has first strike, and then it has Boast for 2 and red. And that ability reads, Fearless Pup gets +2/+0 until end of turn. And the boast means that you can activate this ability only if the creature attacked this turn and only once per turn. So essentially, if it's stacking, you can give it +2/+0. And since it has first strike, it'll take out anything with toughness 3 or less without dying itself. So that's a pretty good deterrent against your opponent's creatures, especially early on. He says you can get this out on turn one, and then just either have it as a deterrent so they won't attack you, or you can just attack them and hope, and they'll probably won't block unless they have something more powerful. So that's a good one. There's a few other ones. There's a Breakneck Berserker, which is a Dwarf Berserker for 2 and a red. It has haste and it's a 3/2. So pretty basic card, but really, really good to have in this kind of format. Let's see, what else did I have? There's a few interesting equipments in this set as well. There's a lot of focus on equipments, and one of them that I've used quite a lot is the Tormentor's Helm, which costs one red, gives the equipped creature +1/+1, And when the equipped creature becomes blocked, it deals one damage to defending player. So that's a good way to, even if you get blocked, you're still doing some damage to the opponent. And there's also this concept of runes in the set, which are enchantments that can also enchant other permanents, or any permanent, really. So one that I've used a bit is the Rune of Might, which is for one and a green. When it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. As long as enchanted permanent is a creature, it gets +1/+1 and has haste, or has trample. And if the enchanted permanent is an equipment, the equipment has equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has trample. So you can boost up your existing equipment with the rune is the basic use, and in case you don't have any equipment, you can always just enchant a creature. See, did I have anything else here of interest that I wanted to get into? Another concept that is coming back with the set that has been gone a while is the concept of changelings and shapeshifter. So what this means is that the creature is every creature type all at once. So that opens up a lot of possibilities when it comes to building tribal decks of different sorts. And one of my decks that I got while playing Limited, I made a green and a Simic deck, green-blue deck, which I tried to focus around this concept, because one of the newer cards is a rare card called Pyre of Heroes, which is an artifact for two colorless. And for two colorless, you can tap it and sacrifice a creature. Then you search your library for a creature card that shares a creature type with the sacrificed creature and has converted mana cost equal to 1 plus the creature's converted mana cost. Put that card onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Activate its ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery. So it's a kind of neoform, but you have to stay within the creature type. So what you want to do is play a fair amount of changelings, so you can just change that into whatever type you need or whatever creature you need. So this deck, I have a fair amount of changelings, and then trying to get more and more powerful creatures as you move up the food chain, as it were. It also has a mythic rare that I got, which is really expensive, so it's not one of those that you want to try to cheat it out if you can. It's Coma Cosmo Serpent. Costs 3, 2 green and 2 blue, so 7 in all. It's a legendary creature serpent, and it can't be countered. At the beginning of each upkeep, create a 3/3 blue serpent creature token named Coma's Coil. Sacrifice another serpent and choose one. Tap target permanent. Its activated abilities can't be activated this turn. Or Coma Cosmo Serpent gains indestructible until end of turn. So, and it's a 6/6, if I didn't mention that. So, really powerful legendary creature. At first, I didn't read it so carefully, so I didn't realize it was creating its own serpents. So I thought, if I'm going to play with this, it was one of the earlier cards that I got in the draft. And I thought, if I'm going to play with this, I need to find some serpents and some changelings. So I focused on picking all the green and blue changelings I could find. Of course, those are the colors that most prominently have changelings. There's also an artifact one, which is good. But so I had some fun with this deck. I didn't do all that well. I just played the 5 matches, lost 3 out of 5. So 40% win rate. Still fun to play, and that got me thinking about what else I could do, what other types of uses I could have for the shapeshifters. And I wanted to use the pyre as well, so I started playing around with different deck types that would use the pyre and the changelings, and settled on a trying to create a to use them together with the party mechanic from Zendikar. So so that became kind of the base idea to try to have those the changelings boost the other cards, because that's the problem, of course, with the party. You need four creatures, and they need to be of the four different creature types that are included in the in the party mechanic. I started looking at which ones were the more powerful ones that I wanted to try to hone in on, and I decided that it was mainly the clerics and warriors that had the more powerful effects. Also, they were the ones that were more frequent in the colors that I landed on. So I decided to go with a green, black, and white deck, and build it around, of course, the changelings, the pyre, and then trying to get value from combining them with the bonuses that you get for having more of the same, or the party mechanic, basically. So I put in a bunch of different, mostly angels, clerics, and warriors. And the ones that ended up being the most effective were Squad Commander, which is a core warrior creature for 3 and a white. It reads, when Squad Commander enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white core warrior creature token for each creature in your party. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain indestructible until end of turn. So that becomes really powerful if you have a bunch of the changelings. You get a bunch of these warrior tokens every turn, and you also get indestructible and the +1/+0 bonus as you go into battle. So I had several matches where the opponent just scooped, or I just ran them over with that mechanic. Another good one that works well with the shapeshifters is the Righteous Valkyrie, which is a new card for Kaldheim. It costs 2 and a white. It's a creature angel cleric, 2/4. It has flying, and whenever another angel or cleric enters the battlefield under your control, you gain life equal to the creature's toughness. As long as you have at least 7 life more than your starting life total, creatures you control get +2/+2. So this is also a good booster, especially if you can get your life total to the +7 above your starting total, so 27 usually. This also becomes a really powerful effect. Besides that, I have a bunch of different clerics, angels, and warriors, like I said. Another really good one is Aura, Skyclave Hierophant from Zendikar. Legendary creature, core cleric. It has lifelink, and when Aura, Skyclave Hierophant, or another cleric you control dies, return target cleric card with lesser converted mana cost from your graveyard to the battlefield. So essentially, whenever a creature, a changeling or a cleric that you have dies, you get to put one with a lower converted mana cost from your yard onto the battlefield. So that triggers like the Righteous Valkyrie again if it's a cleric, for instance, and well, it will be a cleric. so you get more life that way, and yeah, if you took a changeling, it's gonna also affect the party mechanic and so on and so on. So this is a really fun deck to play around with. It's not perfect by any means yet. I've been messing around with it, but it's doing really well in just play and play queue. I have a 59% win rate, so okay, maybe not really good, but good anyway. My last version, I have a couple of versions have been really high percentage wins. I have 175 before that and 83 before that. So yeah, it's basically the first few attempts that are dragging down the averages. So that's a bit on Kaldheim and my first drafts. I'm thinking now about making a changeling deck with Winota. That's it'll be interesting if I can get that working. Of course, there you have to try to balance how many humans and how many non-humans you have. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work with changeling. I guess if the changelings attack, they're always human, so they don't count towards the triggering Winota, but at least they do end up as possible targets when putting a new creature from the top of your deck into play with Winota. So we'll see if I can get that working or not. Maybe it doesn't really help now that I'm starting to talk about it out loud. I was hoping that it would trigger in both cases, but now that I'm thinking about it, I guess they're always human, so they won't trigger. But they're well, maybe I can scrap that idea directly. Good talk.